go ahead and call tonight's meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Perkin, absent. Cable.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Castillo.
Here.
Holstrom, absent. McBride.
Here.
Okay, great. Are there any changes or additions to tonight's agenda? Hearing none, the agenda will stand approved. Are there any changes or additions to the minutes of our meeting, December 7th, 2016? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved. We now have a time for public comment. This is for comments on any issues that are not scheduled to be heard tonight. So anything not already on the agenda that you would like to address as a member of the public. Is there anyone who would like to speak? All right, we'll move on. All right, our first item of business tonight is CUP 03-08. It is actually not the CUP itself, but a follow-up on the Center Grove Orchard traffic and grading studies. Jerry, you have a presentation?
Yeah, I'll just go through the parts of the memo that staff prepared and just briefly touch on the Snyder & Associates memos that were provided. My understanding is Mr. Black is here and his engineer is here to address any questions that come up, as well as address the studies that they provided. Again, this is a conditional use permit 03-08-1. It was a conditional use permit major modification that was before the Planning and Zoning Commission in February of 2016. It went to the Board of Adjustment in March of 2016. And again, it covered the train and the train tracks, associated buildings with that train layout, also covered the general store, food service, identified the expansion plans for parking, talked about the dog show, plans for a new building, 60 by 52, for customers to eat indoors, as well as restrooms. With the approval of the conditional use permit, there were 9 conditions that were a part of that conditional use permit. 2 of those conditions related to the need for the traffic in the area to be studied on Highway 210, 610, the North House Street, which leads to the Center Grove Orchard, as well as to have a study done on the impact of the grading that was done for the train and the train tracks. Again, Mr. Black did hire Snyder & Associates to do a study. They did provide their analysis in a memo that staff provided to the commission. I'll just hit on some of the highlights. They did a study this year on 2 days in July, 23 and the 24th. Also studied traffic on the 8th and 9th of October. They provide some analysis on what the average daily traffic counts are, which is provided by the DOT. For the summer months, it's typically 1,500 counts, average daily traffic counts. They did the study in July. It came to about 1,460 west of the intersection, east of the intersection, about 1,400. For October, closer toward peak season, the counts were significantly higher at about 7,300 vehicles west of the intersection and 2,700 vehicles east of that intersection. So again, these were two-day counts, so the total for the 2 days was around 10,000 vehicles. They talk about the way that they analyze the traffic. They use a highway capacity manual, traffic analysis software, Synchro 8, which talks about levels of service. Level of service A is considered to be the most desirable level. Level of service F is least desirable, with the most delay. Level of service C is the most often considered acceptable with a goal for intersection delay, while level of service D often occurs in like urban peak hour traffic. So on Highway 210, they provide information that the level of service in July and October was level of service A, which again is considered to be most desirable for those road systems. And then in October, it got to a level of service C due to southbound traffic stopping before turning onto Highway 210, which again, level of service C is considered to be acceptable. In their conclusion, you know, they provided some analysis on the crash history, which is limited for this area. The traffic modeling information, observations that were made, they are concluding that no roadway widening or turn construction improvements at this time are necessary. They do come up with instead poor conditions, which the first thing is that the intersection of 610 and Highway 210 should continue to be used for the way for customers to access it, to enter and to leave the Center Grove Orchard. It's a known intersection. Two, that parking tenants should be used, which that's something that Mr. Black has done. That's a condition that be done. That roadway lighting at that intersection be provided, that he look into making improvements to lighting. And then the last thing is to keep the ditch mowed to an acceptable level so as to not obstruct the view for customers who are leaving that intersection, whether it's eastbound or westbound. And staff found that those recommendations were reasonable. Mr. Black is in agreement to doing those things. The county engineer had a comment that to mow the Highway 210, you have to have permission to do that. And Mr. Black has indicated that he agrees to communicate with them. And staff will work with Mr. Black to make sure that these four items are accomplished. So with that, that's our presentation. Like I said, Mr. Black is here. His engineer is here to provide additional information and answer questions.
Questions for staff?
Is there, maybe you can remind us from the provisions of the reminder of the CUP, but are there anything binding to these reports? I mean, is there any follow-up that needs to happen over the reports?
Well, if there was a recommendation that improvements needed to be done to, like, the road right away, right, that would fall on Mr. Black to make sure that got accomplished and that would be at his cost.
So based on these recommendations of looking at the lighting or looking at the mowing and things, is that the expectation then that
Mr. Black would do those things?
And how do we follow up on this?
Something the staff will shepherd.
Okay.
I guess I'll put it on our to-do list and make sure that it gets done.
Okay. On a related note, your memo says, has a recommendation to accept the findings and then remove the one-year limitation on the CUP.
Good point.
Does that mean approve the... We're essentially extending the approval of the CUP in perpetuity, or are you still, have you thought about an annual review on that CUP or anything like that?
Item number 9 identifies the fact that this is a one-year permit, and Mr. Black had a year to have the traffic study and to have the grading work analyzed by an engineer, and he has done both. So we're asking that the one-year limitation be lifted, and beyond that, we're not recommending that we do annual inspections. If Mr. Black wants to make improvements or additions to the to Center Grove, it's going to likely require conditional permits, and some of those things will be addressed.
to consider whether an annual review is something you wanted to recommend or not?
It's not a part of our recommendation.
So I guess that's something that comes to the commission. That's somewhat common on complex needs, isn't it, to build in an annual review, or have you kind of moved away from that?
Well, there wasn't one on this one.
Previous
CUP that Mr. Black obtained. There has been on other ones.
I'd imagine that on some of them, you call for an annual review to initially, and then after a few years of it, you say, okay, this is unnecessary.
Right.
Other questions for the staff?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Although I'm really new to this, I'm just on this addition of remove the 1 year limitation. Is that something that seems fine and reasonable to me? Is because it's taking longer than its initial. Although there's been good progress to be made and it's steady, there's no reason not to lift this.
I mean, the reason for the 1 year limitation was that there was a large influx in traffic, and it was something that was so important that we wanted to make sure that this got addressed, that an engineer was hired, that it was the traffic on the local roads was analyzed.
I think also, though, if I remember, there were concerns because there were existing buildings or the existing operations at the location exceeded the original CUP. So this was kind of a retroactive CUP in addition to, newer current requests. And so there were a lot of concerns, and there was a lot of discussion over multiple meetings related to the CUP. And so I think there were just concerns, and that's why we wanted to have that. So what are we being asked?
In a sense here, we are asked for a recommendation on approving more time for the conditional use permit. Put a 1 year limit on before, and now the question is whether to open it up to a typical CUP without that restriction.
And to consider the results of the studies that we asked for.
So we would need to acknowledge those as being adequate. Okay. Let's see. Would the applicant like to add anything? If you would, step up and name and address for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Steve Black. My address is 32835 610th Avenue, Cambridge. I don't really have anything much to add. I think Jerry pretty much sums it up, and it's on the report. So if you have any questions for me or Greg, the engineer of the traffic study, we won't have to answer any questions.
Questions to direct to the applicant?
I'm based on the documentation that you provided, that you're already planning on looking at the lighting and the suggestion, and then the mowing or whatever that recommendation for clear line of sight, I guess, for the intersection.
May call on you later on if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Can I just get an idea of how many folks are planning or hoping to speak on this topic, either in support or against? If you could just raise your hand just so I have gauge. Okay, thank you. All right, if anyone else would like to speak on this issue, please approach the podium and give us your name and address for the record.
Donna Kelman, 61384 Highway 210, and I just was wondering, did I understand that Steve would be responsible for mowing my part of the ditch if it needs to be? And last year, the thing was approved that they were not allowed to use amplified speakers, and I want to make sure that part stays put because this year went a lot better. And so I was worried about the noise. And that was what my question was.
Glad to hear things went better. We are not talking about retracting any of the previous conditions. correct, and so that condition would remain. As far as mowing that portion of the ditch, the recommendation of the traffic study was for all quadrants of that intersection?
Well, it says keep ditch mowed north of Iowa Highway 210, west of 610th Avenue to prevent vegetation from obstructing view of oncoming Iowa 210 traffic for southbound 610th Avenue traffic.
So just be on the north side.
Right. So, but and again, any plan to do that, you need DOT.
That's not it's not right of way granted by easement, so the property owners don't have the authority to mow the adjacent ditches on their own.
I don't know. I'm just relaying what our county engineer said. He thought they need permission.
Okay. Anyone else like to speak on this issue? Okay, commission discussion. What's before us is whether we should acknowledge the traffic study and its recommendations, the additional information that's been submitted as being adequate to fulfill the previous conditions, and to take off the one-year restriction on the permit. That's the question before us, and I would add that we do have the option to require an annual review by staff where they would visit the property and, you know, check in on things and visit with the property owner. Yeah. Thoughts?
Aaron, I would like
without the ongoing? Okay. So essentially in line with staff's recommendation.
Right.
Okay. There a second?
Sure, I'll second.
We have a motion by Cable and a second by McBride. Is there a discussion on the motion?
I Mr. Black, I appreciate the complete nature of the information that you're providing. I believe because of the unique nature of the CUP and the unique nature of the operations at that location, I'd like to see, and I appreciate the feedback that I think Mr. Black, having heard concerns about how things were going, has addressed those and appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that they're going better. But I think that at least I would like to see at least one more, you know, once things are completed, to see at least one more annual review. I want to say that it's an annual review in perpetuity. But I would like to see at least one more follow-up, you know, either during or, you know, next year during operations, just as a review.
Are you asking for staff to do a site review, or would you like this item to come back before the planning commission? The entire CP and all the conditions?
I would say probably just a staff review. Knowing what the conditions are and things, just as confirmation, and then a report back to the council. So that's different. And Jerry's, I'm not asking for an ongoing annual review, but a different. Just at least one more as a confirmation of there's been recommendations made. And there are provisions in place, and just an additional confirmation.
Discussion of the motion. That would seem reasonable to me, but I also know that at this point, having gone through this long process, I would imagine Mr. Black and his staff are going to be in fairly constant communication on any changes and additions in the future. But okay, if there's no other discussion, the motion before us is to recommend removal of the one-year restriction with no additional restriction on staff reviews or full reviews of any kind in the future. Everybody clear on the motion? Okay. Let's get a roll call vote on that motion, please.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Does that include the taking of the data, the traffic data? Is that a part of it, or is it just... It
yes,
is,
correct.
Isn't it?
So, correct.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Stephanie, are you clear on the motion?
I am.
All right.
Smith?
No.
McBride?
Motion carry, or yeah. All right, that motion carries. Thanks for coming in. Your next step is to the Board of Adjustment. Our next item is CUP 07-16, Manawa Borrow Pits.
Could you hit the lights, please? Thank you. Applicant is Brian Connell, Minawa Construction. They're out of Harmony, Minnesota. Property owner is Mark Gannon, Gannon Real Estate, Des Moines address. Property is located generally in Section 16 of Grant Township, Incorporated, Story County. It's just southeast of the intersection or the interchange of I-35 and Highway 30. It's an off-ramp project. The reason for the borrow pits is for the off-ramp project. They're proposing to remove the existing off-ramp, which extends from I-35 to Highway 30 eastbound. Additional right-of-way was acquired from the property located at 56533 245th Street. The project involves removal of several trees relocating the creek that's there. There currently are no plans for mitigation of the trees, the woods that are there. It does not meet the criteria for the state for mitigation. And again, the overall reason for the project is they're proposing a flyover bridge, which will extend on I-35 northbound to Highway 30 westbound. So that's the reason for the need to remove the existing off-ramp to Highway 30 and to relocate the creek that's in this area. This is a map that kind of shows you everything. The first line to the left side there is the existing off-ramp, which again extends to Highway 30 eastbound. The next line represents the proposed flyover, which will extend from Interstate 35 to the westbound Highway 30. And then to the right would be the proposed off-ramp, which is the project that is before us. And again, that will extend from I-35 eastbound to Highway 30. Aerial of the property, again, we're on the southeast area of Grant Township of this intersection. It's about a 36-acre parcel. Zoning is A1 Agricultural District. Current land use is in agricultural production. There were a few grain bins, accessory structure in the northeast corner of the property. Property is fronted by I-35 and 245th Street, which is one of the reasons why this site was selected for ease of access from moving construction equipment from the site to the DOT right-of-way. To the the west side is Hallett Materials Extraction Site. There is some larger single-family dwellings in the area on larger parcels. It's also within the floodplain. Future land use, map designation, it's in the Ames Urban Fringe. It's in the Rural Service Agriculture Conservation Area. Subcategory is Agriculture and Farm Service. So a little bit closer view of the property. Again, it's an ag production. It was an ag production, row crops. Got a larger parcel with a single-family dwelling. Part of that parcel to the north is in, was in row crops. To the north there, again, Hallett Materials to the west. Property to the south is in row crops. Project details, again, the applicant was awarded a contract with the DOT to remove the existing off-ramp, construct a new one, relocate the creek, because again, this will be impacted with the primarily because of the flyover bridge that's being proposed. They have about 20 employees. There's also other subcontractors that will be working on this. They're proposing two borrow pits, 10 feet in depth, approximate size 400 by 435. They will have a staging area, and I've got a map that kind of shows you that, which will be where the borrow pit 2 is, which is on the east side. Both of these pits are proposed for the north portion of the site. 115,000 cubic yards of dirt material will be removed. Over 12,000 cubic yards of granular material would be removed. Sandhill Trail and 245th Street will be haul roads for equipment, supplies. Country trucks will use this street. There is a property to the north, as you saw, and just west of where the drive is. They'll need to close the western portion of 245th Street during the extraction portion of the borrow pits. And then also 245th Street, the north-south portion of that, which extends to the property that contained the dwelling, which the DOT acquired, that portion of the road will be vacated by the county. Applicant does propose to put down calcium chloride and water on the adjacent roads and the project site as needed during the project. We did ask for information about the types of equipment, several dozers, excavators, haul trucks, crane, several cranes. Hours of operation, sun up to sun down for the most part. Project is supposed to be completed, or at least the ball pit portion, by the end of the year, December of 2017. Upon completion, it will stay in private ownership. It will be turned into two private ponds that will be stocked with fish and hopefully turned into a habitat for wildlife. The balance of the land will remain in agricultural use. We did do a site review on the 30th. There were some materials staged for the bridge embutment. They're going to be working on doing the borings and the footing work for the proposed flyover north to westbound Highway 30. We did note that a lot of the trees within the right-of-way had been removed. They've started doing that removal. Had some contact with the DOT and was told that through the state's, the DNR, that erosion control typically is not required once the ground freezes, which the front ground has frozen. Materials that were submitted did show stabilization, and I'm told that they did send somebody out to work on that creek bank stabilization. So as far as the analysts, part of this, Chapter 90.04, Standards of Approval, we look at several things. The first thing is the compatibility of the project with surrounding land use. Subject property was selected, again, because of its proximity to the right-of-way. They're proposing to use access, which would be in the northwest corner of the site, to get into and out of and have very minimal impact to 245th. Transition, again, the staging area, which will be in the eastern northeast portion, will be fenced with construction fencing. Dust control measures will be put into effect. With regard to traffic, again, the applicants, employees, and other contractors associated with the project will be using either the right-of-way or the subject property area for that. A parking and loading, approximate 3-acre area of the site will be used to store and process tree material as well as store equipment. And again, that area will be fenced. There will be some lighting, not on the subject property, but where the off-ramp is proposed. But again, most of that work will stop once, during sundown time periods. Environmental protection, it is in a floodplain. There will need to apply for a floodplain development permit. And they are aware of that. The perimeter of the varro pit will have a berm around it to help with any floodwaters. So if it does flood, that area will be protected from that. Again, dust control measures will be in effect. We've had some discussion. We just received some information from the state, from the DOT, with regard to their impact analysis that they did. We just received it this afternoon. We kind of shared standards, and we're going to communicate tomorrow, hopefully, on the impact of that. We had contact with the county attorney's office, and they're not aware of any exceptions to the county's environmental standards. So again, that's something that we need to work through. Again, the subject property really is where the borrow pits are, but the dirt that's being used is for the on-ramp, which is located north of where the subject property is. We had a conceptual review on December 8th. County engineer asked for information about the types of equipment that would be used. They did provide that. Did indicate that the local roads may need to be closed. Again, 245th west of that access, which is located to the north, there'll be a partial closing there. And again, the north-south portion of 245th Street will be vacated altogether. Story County Auditor's Office did indicate that this is in a drainage district and that the drainage district has been notified. The DOT did notify them of the project. Planning and development staff had a lot of questions about the proposal that they provided answers to. Environmental Health had some comments about the house that's being removed and requirements to remove the septic system. Floodplain development permit will be needed. That was communicated by the outreach manager. Notifications were sent December 22 to all property owners within a quarter mile. Copy of the notice was also sent to the cities of Ames and Gilbert. And I did receive a phone call from somebody who was interested in this project. Really had more questions than anything, didn't oppose it, but did want to learn more about it. These are some of the materials that were submitted by the applicant. The green area represents part of the subject property, part of the staging area, and the borrow area. This represents the proposed borrow 1, proposed borrow 2. Proposed pond 2 would be where the staging would occur. This is the overall. Shows you the I-35 off-ramp, the flyover bridge that's going to be constructed, which would be a separate project. On this diagram, north is to the right, but it shows you the relocation of the existing creek that will take place with this. Again, this is all north of what we're referring to as the subject property. This shows you like the previous right-of-way limits, which is the dashed line. Existing is the new line, which is to the right, the solid line. We're into the site photos. This is the subject property, proposed borrow area. We're looking to the south. This is from 245th Street. We're going to be be just panning to the south and southwest. This is 245th Street. This is the north-south portion, just directly east of the freeway. You see some of the materials, tree materials that have been removed. This is the off-ramp, and that will be removed. A new one placed further to the east. The staff recommendation is approval of the request with conditions. The one is to apply for the floodplain permit, which they're aware of. The erosion control materials, which they're aware of. And then two is the mitigation. This is something that we need to work out with the DOT. Again, the subject property is where the borrow pits are. The project, the materials that will be used, impacts the area further to the north, which involves the removal of the off-ramp and construction of the new. So with that, I'd be happy to open it up for questions.
Any questions for the staff?
Are there any concerns with the that relocation of the creek that was mentioned?
Concerns in what regard?
There's a lot of farmland there with farm tile and things that I'm sure was all designed based on where to send that water. And if you relocate,
right? This is part of a drainage district, and they're aware of this project. They've been notified, so that gives me some assurance with regard to the planning of it. But this is a part of what they've been tasked to do. It's an equal part of it.
Is the mitigation plan intended to address anything other than the significant tree removal, or is that the main?
That was the main thing. Again, I just received the document this afternoon, and like I said, we agreed to go through each other's standards, discuss this further. If mitigation is something that's needed, our standards state that they're permitted to remove up to 15% of what would be natural resources, which could be prairie, grass areas, wetland areas, treed areas, and then anything beyond that, if it's justified, that's where the mitigation falls into place. So part of the comments that we received was that with the project boundaries, there's not really enough. Well, first of all, they didn't meet their criteria to mitigate. Two, there isn't enough space to mitigate. But with the county standards, if you get to mitigation, you can mitigate up to like a quarter mile area. So the borrowed site could be a good candidate if the plan is to turn that into a natural habitat. We're going to have two fairly large-sized ponds with a berm around them. Having trees planted would help to that end.
Pleasure. Jared, are we here to talk about just ball pits or the project?
Well, it's the ball pit. It's the CUP.
No trees involved there anyway.
But we're giving you the full scope of what the materials are going to be used for us.
On the borrow pit site, there's been no tree removal, and
no,
that will be required.
It's farm ground.
Any other questions for the staff? The applicant like to address the commission in any way? State your name and address for the record. Yes. Business address is fine. Okay.
I'm Brian Connell with Minowa Construction. My address is 850 Wicked Drive, Northwest, Harmony, Minnesota. Project here to talk about the project and address any concerns that anybody would have. I'm pretty familiar with it. I've been studying it for a while now and been down here quite a bit. So, anybody has any questions?
Any questions for that?
I have one question, sir.
Yeah.
I noticed there was talk there about dust, I presume dust control on Sand Hill Trail and 242 Street, is that correct?
Yep.
That will be taken care of.
Yep, we will take care of that.
Lampkin? We're going to have a public comment here in just a moment. Any other commission questions?
Yeah.
Thanks, we may call you in a bit. Before we start public comment, could I get a show of hands of anyone who may like to address this issue? Great. Thanks. One at a time, you're welcome to approach the podium. Give us your name and address for the record, please.
Brian Anderson, live at 57,245th Street. Now, I just got a question for you. Could you bring up the map where it shows that 36 acres? And it's
aerial?
Yeah, the, right here. Yeah. Right there.
Okay.
Okay. Go back where it shows that the two borrow pits. Right there.
Okay.
Okay. The southeast corner of this 36 acres, I would just guess approximately 15 acres is the permanent slush area. Do you realize that? I mean, they can't farm it. So when you're looking at putting a borrow pit like Pond 2, I don't know how far south this goes off the road,
yeah,
but if it's 5 acres, you know, that's a pretty good slice. It's going to go into this, for lack of a better term, permanent, you know what I mean, Jerry? It's just permanently water.
So it's a bit far north. You're looking at the very far north side of that 36-acre area. That's not the entire parcel that you're looking at.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. But will this pond on the right, Pond 2, reach that permanent area that is non-farmable? That's my question. Because if you're going to build a slush pond in there, a borrow pit in there, you're going to have a permanent wet spot from where that borrow pit is south. And then my question is, if this borrow pit, it'll be right down here.
The borrow pits are going to be up in here.
They won't be down in here.
No.
So they're going to go like here.
Yeah, like there. 400 by 400 approximately.
So they start at the top of the road.
In the north portion.
Yeah, I couldn't see that on the map. That answers my question. Okay.
Thank you. Applicant, is that a correct way to address this question?
Yep.
Do we get it?
Basically, where the knockout is on the parcel. Knockout?
That would
be if they don't mind straight to the left. That would be impacted.
Thank you. Anyone else like to comment on this issue?
Yes, my name is Dave Wambacher, 54650300 Street, Huxley. Somewhat disinterested party, but I had a question that you said that both the city of Ames and Gilbert were notified. I presume the city of Nevada has been notified as well?
No, it's in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, so that's why we contacted the city of Ames and the city of Gilbert.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'm just aware that the city of Nevada's water supply wells are just south of here. And I didn't know if they wanted to. I have no input on that. I just was wondering if maybe they would.
That's a great idea. Can't do that. I mean, this item goes before the final board adjustment.
Right.
That's a great point. This is only the first stage of this approval process. I think that's a great idea, though, Jerry, is to make sure that Nevada is notified because of that well site. Procedurally, we're required to notify the City of Ames because we have a joint agreement with the City of Ames on issues like this and the City of Gilbert.
That will be good neighbors, I think.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Anyone else like to comment on this issue? Planning Commission? Oh, certainly. Please step up.
Benny Kingsbury, like that for me, because that one's up the street. You got a pond down down here like that was.
And you got beta wells are down here like that was. That retention pond ever lets loose. You're going to keep that water on the wells. Well, the betas on that too. Plus that creek, it goes wild. If it gets out of the bank, she's going to run wild and then she'll come right in. Like that, I used to farm that back in the 60s. We got geese trouble. We got ducks and geese that come out of Howard's Court over here like that ones, and they fly over there too like that ones too. So you got problems there all the time. You're going to have more geese coming like that too. So
that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments from the public? Jerry, that's actually a thought that I had. You know, there's quite a, what do you call it, goose problem. There's a goose issue down there with Hallett's. I mean, and this could exacerbate that. Does County Conservation have anything to say about?
Yeah. Do we have a quantity issue? Will this help maybe disperse?
It may sound silly.
I
think you could see potential collisions. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're getting a lot of geese moving back and forth between the two sites, but let's trust that they're smart geese.
We didn't receive any comment
from
conservation with regard to that.
That's also an IDOT issue, isn't it?
Seems like a DOT issue to me.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Session? Planning Commission? If not, then I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve CUP 07-16 as recommended, using the provisions as recommended by staff, including the additional provision to notify the city of Nevada relative to their wells.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to recommend approval in line with staff's recommendation, adding a notification before it goes to Board of Adjustment to the City of Nevada. Discussion on the motion? Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries. We'll move on to the Board of Adjustments. Thank you. Our next item is actually two items combined into one staff report. Rezoning 02-16 and subdivision 13-16. What are you doing?
All right. Okay, like you said, it's a rezoning request, which is the first item that we would consider. And when we get to the Planning and Zoning Commission action, we would ask for a motion for the rezoning first before the request to do the subdivision, which is the second part of this. Property owners are Charles Lee, Ryan Halen, and Ivan and Laurel Kinnan. The size of the area is over 64 acres. Again, it's a rezoning and a C2C comprehensive plan amendment. The zoning is A1 agricultural district to the R1 residential transitional district, and a cornerstone to capstone future land use map amendment from the natural resources and ag conservation area to the rural residential area. It also includes a major preliminary subdivision plat, which is called Iron Bridge. The applicant is Chris Gardner. He's has a plan to acquire parts of the 64-acre area, which includes four separate parcels, and we've got some maps to show you that. is planning to divide the property into 21 separate lots for single-family development. Most of the adjacent land surrounding the property is A1 agricultural district, except for the land to the south. Most of that is zoned R1 residential transitional, which includes the Deer Creek subdivision. So this is the first aerial. Again, we're north of the city of Huxley. We're in Palestine Township. Much of what's being requested would impact the wooded area, which the Valley Creek extends through to the west and to the east of this. Land use to the north primarily is, there's four separate parcels that consist of single-family dwellings. There's the Ballard Golf and Country Club to the south. Deer Creek is to the southeast. There's some scattered dwellings, but for the most part beyond that, it's agricultural land. This shows you the subject property area. Again, it's four separate parcels to make up this 64-acre area. And 550th Avenue, which is a gravel road, county road, extends through the southeast portion of that area. So again, we're in sections 1314, Palestine Township. As I said, Ballard Golf and Country Club is to the south. Deer Creek subdivision, which contains about 36 lots, is to the south. There are four parcels again to the north, which come off of 300th Street. It's a private drive or lane extending to those four separate lots. There are some newer developments inside the city on the east and west side of Highway 69 in the northern portion of the city. But for the most part, as far as the city's comprehensive plan, most of their proposed growth would be to the west and east of the current corporate limits. This area is outside of the urban growth area, which is identified in the comp plan that we just put together. Most of the growth that's identified in the plan is more toward the south portion and southeast portion up towards the freeway. This shows you the zoning. Again, the property area is outlined in red. Much of what you're looking at is A1 agriculture that shows up as the aerial. The yellow is the R1, which is being requested for the entire area that's within the boundary. This is an earlier concept. It's good. It shows you the aerial with the proposed configuration of the road. Again, just beyond the curve to the northeast, they're proposing an access, a cul-de-sac, which I believe is a little over 900 feet in length, short stub cul-de-sac to the north, which would include three lots, I believe. One of those lots, the applicant, Mr. Gardner, plans to build his own home. Also has plans to build all of the homes within the development. So again, this is the concept plan. This is the subdivision plat. Again, primarily pretty much the same thing. Most of the lots are on this main stretch of the cul-de-sac, which is a little over 900 feet in length, and then the short stub cul-de-sac extending to the north, which is all this is on the south side of Ballard Creek. The idea is that the lots would be south of the creek, south of the floodplain, because again, there's a 100-year floodplain extending on both sides of the creek. But the lots and much of the development would occur on the south side of that. Lot sizes range from 3/4 acre to 2.3 acres along the roads that are proposed. The larger lots that would not be a part of this range from 1.8 acres to 13 acres. There are two existing dwellings which would be a part of this. They would be proposed to be split. They would not be a part of the restricted covenants, nor would these two lots, this one and this one here. But they're a part of the rezoning request and part of the subdivision. This shows you the contours. Typically, the closer the line weights, the lines come together, the greater the change, variation in the grade. So for the most part, once you get beyond this drainage area, there's like an upper ledge, which is probably 15 to 20 some feet higher than the lower portion, and then also compared to 550th. The elevations do increase, though, in the northern portion. But this shows you the proposed lots. They are proposing to do detention basins to the east of that north cul-de-sac, as well as a basin in this area. And this shows you the easements that are proposed. One of these deals with the proposed mitigation, tree planting that would occur here, as well as the northern area. There's a stream easement, which again follows the creek area. There's also detention basins, which we showed you to the east of the bulb in this area too. Those are easements, as well as the open space areas, which also are provided. Those show up as green spaces. This is from the comp plan. We've got some work to do. One of the charges in our work program for our department is to look at our mapping, look at the real world, and see where we need to make some adjustments. The green area represents natural resource area. We know that there's some issues with this mapping because there is some trees in here that show up as agriculture conservation, which again, that's one of our requirements in our work program, to work with the conservation on our mapping to make some improvements. In this case, it's needed. But on our comp plan, the designation for the green area is natural resources. The yellow is rural residential, and again, it's primarily shown as rural residential because of the existing parcels that are here. There's four existing dwellings, one on each of those parcels. Then again, the white shows up as agriculture conservation. Aerials to the right of the screen is the subject property. We're looking to the south on 550th Avenue. This is where the access would take place. From 550th Avenue, which is gravel road, to the site. This is actually south of Ballard Creek. This is the low area. Creek. There are some pockets within the treed area. This is in the upper ledge. You can see some of the mature trees in the background, some vegetation in the foreground. This is what they're trying to capture, the view, an awesome view from this area. We're looking northward. Again, this is the upper level of where they would like to build. I think this is more in the cul-de-sac area. This is the view more toward the southeastern portion, looking down at 550th Avenue. This is down toward the road, toward the creek, looking toward the north side of the creek. Again, looking straight on. This is the area where the proposed larger lot would be on the east side of 550th Avenue. That one's like 13 acres. This is the upper level. Staff and other departments did take a look at the request. We think that there might be some merit in possibly doing a development on the northern portion, which wouldn't be a straight conservation design, but it would have less of an impact if more of the lots were to occur on that northern portion, which again appeared to be previously in ag production. But again, this is looking west from 550th. We get into the standards. Again, section 92.062, standards for approval. The proposed rezoning shall conform to Story County Development Plan, in this case the C2C plan. The land use designation in the C2 plan indicates, with the exception of the four parcels containing the four existing dwellings that are designated rural residential, much of the property is designated natural resources with a few pockets of ag conservation. The property is not located within an urban expansion area. Again, that's primarily to the south and to the east of the corporate limits. Under the land use chapter, natural resource area description states areas designated as natural resource area illustrate natural resource elements which present limitations to development and or contain sensitive environmental conditions requiring special design and development standards when development is proposed. Under the very first principle, generally discourage development within these areas in unique circumstances where appropriate. Development types may enhance the area, recognize and encourage such approaches. Two, mitigate impacts of proposed development contiguous to areas identified as natural resource areas. Three, consider areas identified as natural resource areas for inclusion in the Greenbelt Conservation District of the land development regulations and or take necessary steps to ensure resource conservation through other mechanisms. Four, develop site planning and performance standards to apply to properties designated natural resource area. And again, what we've identified here is this is a charge that planning and development staff have to work with conservation and other departments to come up with solutions to some of these principles. Again, for the most part, it states that development is not encouraged, it's discouraged, but it does open the window for unique circumstances. And so that's part of the task to try to figure out what those unique circumstances would be where development might be permitted in a natural resource area. So under the Conservation, Natural Resource, and Recreation chapter, under 3.6, it says minimize human impacts on native plant and animal populations, the ecosystems they comprise, and processes that sustain them. Under 3.7, restrict development within environmentally sensitive areas, including floodplains, steep slopes, wooded areas, and wetlands. Under Statement of Intent, the rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent for the proposed district and district requirements. Again, under the R1 Transitional Residential District, it indicates the district's design to provide for single-family detached dwellings with a rural and urban density. Subdivisions created within the R1 district may also include community facilities, open spaces, and with special provisions to protect the residential character of the district. It says the district's not intended to permit isolated rural dwellings. The proposed residential development would be consistent with density limits of the district and would include planned open space. However, again, the C2C plan strongly discourages development within natural resource areas. Three, the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. Again, it would be somewhat of a transition from the Deer Creek subdivision to the south. However, in reviewing previous aerials prior to it being developed, Deer Creek, there was a large area in the center of that where most of the lots occurred that looked like it was either a pasture or previously row crops. And then with the two roads that are in that development, most of the housing appears to occur on the fringe of the development, not inside the on the fringe of the woods, not inside of it. The four dwellings to the north, again, primarily occurred on the fringe of the woods. Under four, the proposed rezoning shall protect environmental resources. It talks about rezonings of parcels containing more than 50% of the gross acreage, of lands identified with areas designated natural resources shall not be approved unless a district designation more restrictive is being requested. Two, the RC residential conservation overlay is applied. Or three, conditions protecting the identified areas are attached to the rezoning request. The map natural resources, according to the information that was provided, indicate that 44.1 acres are of that natural resource area, which is about 68% of the entire area. Approximately 7.2 acres would be removed for streets, houses, drives, detention basins of that 44 acres. Areas along the north outlots and south lots that we show, they do provide for mitigation, which they say comprises 3.8 acres with a net loss of natural resources of 3.4 or 7.7%. And then again, the applicant is proposing preservation easements for the creek and floodplain and open space areas. 5 in the ordinance, it says areas where the petition to rezone requests a change from A1 to, or A2 to another district. If it has a high land evaluation site assessment score, then it shouldn't be approved. We did do an analysis on the larger parcel, and it came under the threshold, which is not too surprising. Oftentimes when it's close to an urban area, in this case this, it's close to the city of Huxley, the scores do come under that threshold. So and that means that the applicant, if he were to acquire just that larger piece, which kind of looks like the shape of a C, we could issue a permit for a single family home on that parcel. So again, this is the subdivision plat review. Again, 21 lots are being proposed. We know that there's frontage along 550th. Much of this I've already addressed. Utilities, that they are proposing to get City of Huxley Water, Alliant Energy for gas, Consumers Energy for the electric, and Huxley Fire Department would serve this area. They did do an inventory of just the area where the access and the roads would be and determined that oaks, black maple, thorny locust, ash, elms, and evergreen would be impacted, as well as some honeysuckle and thorn bushes. And they determined that approximately 30-some trees would be impacted. Again, a significant tree is a tree that's 4 inches in caliper, size at an elevation 4 feet above grade. So again, they're talking about 30 some of those trees would be impacted. It's important to note though that we don't have listed trees that are considered nuisances, undesirable, or invasive in our ordinance. Under 88.05, Protection of Natural Resource Vegetation, it states whenever a site to be developed contains naturally occurring resources, no more than 15% shall be removed due to earth grading, roadway construction, building site clearance, or any other construction activity. And again, for the most part, they're going to be meeting that criteria. Again, it's 7.2 acres is what they determined that they would be impacting, which comes to about 11.5% of the entire subdivision area. Under 88.052B, it states if the intended disruption to significant trees exceeds the 15%, then it talks about the mitigation requirements. In this case, it would not be required, but they're proposing to mitigate 4 trees per lot, also some restoration work, which comes to 2.7 acres, as well as the detention areas, which is about an acre. Conceptual review was September 29. Planning and development staff, we had several visits to the site, had a lot of discussion with the applicant and his engineer, had a lot of questions about the layout, what other alternatives might have been considered, questions about utilities, natural resources, plans for protection, conservation, much of the same, a lot of questions about the natural resources, how they were calculated, overall impact of the development on natural resources, environmental health, questions on site evaluations for septic systems, plans to monitor the systems once they were to be constructed, questions on restrictive covenants, language on tree removal, engineering, more on the design of the access, drainage culverts. Did note that the access was somewhat steep, which is on the upper end of the SUDUS, requirements, which I believe is around 11 or 12% is what they're proposing. Auditor's office had questions on the ownership of the land, and the assessor's office provided information on how the lots would be assessed. Publication was sent to the three county newspapers approved by the Board of Supervisors December 29. We did send notices on the 21st and had this been corrected on the 27th. We have a better understanding about what's being requested. The rezoning area and the subdivision area is the site boundary that you see that we showed you. Did receive a call from a citizen in opposition to the request on the 3rd. Also received an email from a citizen raising concern that the area is a natural wildlife corridor. Any development should include protections to the stream watershed habitat or should not be approved. Also concerns about infrastructure and site access damage to an untouched area or an area that has not been developed. Copy of the public notice was also sent to the city of Huxley. City administrator indicated that they saw no problems and they were waiting for the county's review of it. Points to consider in reviewing this application is what's being proposed as far as the rezoning is that it's now contiguous to the R1 residential transitional district to Deer Creek subdivision to the south. Property is not a part of the urban expansion area, which is identified in the comp plan. Again, those areas are primarily to the south and to the southeast. City's comp plan for housing growth really shows up to the west and east of the city's corporate limits. As far as the density, though, it's consistent with the R1 residential transitional district. Again, like I said, we've got work to do. It's part of our charge to identify what, you know, under what threshold development might be permitted in a natural resource area, whether we're just talking about a shelter for like an observation area, for like a park area, or does that mean one house, two houses, three houses, or more? Points to consider in the major plat. Proposed number of lots for Iron Bridge would be a balance between the numbers to the south in Deer Creek and the 4 to the north. They are proposing to receive city water from Huxley. They're going to have electric, natural gas from Alliant Energy and electric from consumers. It would only be one access, one road in and out. There's no connection, so that can be a good or a bad thing. With the creek and the way the topography is, it's pretty difficult to try to connect it to other adjacent parcels unless they were to do something further to the north, which is something that staff was suggesting. Lots are planned to be located within the woods with open space areas set aside for lot owners. Preservation easements within the wood, the floodplain and open space areas are planned. Again, we think it's somewhat different than the Deer Creek because, again, most of where the lots are there were in a pasture area or a row crop area. While it's not required, they are proposing mitigation of trees and other vegetation. We did throw out some possible options, which the applicant was not interested in. This is part of their vision. They would like to do development in the woods. Part of the issue here, we have a comp plan that addresses the need to protect the natural resources, matched up with a vision to do a development in the wooded area. So with that, staff is recommending the denial of the request for the rezoning and the subdivision plat. We would propose a compromise, something that would be more on a conservation type conceptual level that would put most of the lots in the northern portion outside of the floodplain in the area that was previously farm ground, and then provide some support for like one lot next to the trees, in the trees, for the applicant, provided that everything that's affected is mitigated on that parcel, As far as the rezoning goes, the area in the western portion with that compromise is not needed. So that's why the rezoning is not supported. And then, again, our position is the same as far as the actual subdivision. The applicant is here, and the applicant's engineer is here. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Procedurally, are the rezoning amendment requests, the zoning amendment request and the plan amendment two different cases or two different items?
I think it can be addressed together. You're talking about the zoning map and the C2 map.
Theoretically, could we...
You can separate...
Can you approve the plan amendment but not the rezoning?
I guess we view those as being one motion because it affects the zoning map as well as the C2C map.
Doesn't
the subdivision as a separate item?
Does the zoning affect the lot size and density and things, requirements like that?
That's a great point. Like, could it be the plan designation be amended to a broad residential designation that could allow two or three different zoning residential zoning districts?
So an AR district or something?
Yeah. Different.
That's a possibility.
I know that's not necessarily the case here specifically. I'm just trying to keep our ducks in a row.
Can you go back to slide 30? There was a definition on there I wanted to read.
Thanks for remembering the number.
How'd you do that?
I wrote it down.
So, there's the... These are the objectives from the CGC plan, right?
Okay. And this is the principle one is from the land use chapter, or actually 1 through 4, and then in the other two on the bottom here are from the natural resource and recreation chapter.
Right, and so the objectives of the CTC plan designations for those areas were these objectives. I just want to read, if you could go back to 30. Does objective 3.6 and 3.7, I just want to make sure I read those again.
You want me to read those out loud?
If you want to read two, Jerry, sure. for the record, if you'd like to read 3.6.
3.6 says minimum human impacts on native plant and animal populations, the ecosystem they comprise, and processes that sustain them. Minimize human impacts. And then 3.7 says restrict development within environmentally sensitive areas, including floodplains, steep slopes, wooded areas, and wetlands.
Thank you. And then a clarification, these are going to be on city water and other services, but they'll be on septic systems?
Correct.
I'm assuming that other appropriate agencies would be evaluating that since you're putting septic systems.
It would be there.
On an uphill slope next to
county environmental health department.
Yeah, okay. And then what were the lot sizes for these?
Varying 1 to 3 acres on the proposed streets, I think. Three quarters up to two. The larger ones are on the cul-de-sac.
On the north.
Yeah, the north, the short cul-de-sac. And then like a little over half acre.
All of
the south, and then a little larger on the north side.
Well, and then a little bit larger, but it's really counting unusable undeveloped space that goes down the hill to the creek, right?
And again, most of this is on the high ground.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just, lot. You want to go back to the contour map? Yeah, and I'm looking, the mid part of that road, it just appears from the contour map to drop off, right?
Yeah, and I think the engineer can speak to that. It's relatively level, actually. There's not a huge grade change. I mean, obviously, as you get into this area, there's quite a drop off. And then as you go to the northern limits of these north parcels, there's quite a drop off.
come up with the best map showing the balance of the rezoning area, which is slide. I have no idea.
What number would that be? Is that one? Does that light go off or not? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You had a different map though that showed part of it in yellow that was already zoned. Or look for the yellow here.
That one?
Maybe the next one.
Divided up into plan designations.
That one.
That's from the comp
plan.
And we think there's some issues with the credibility of the data. Again, it's our charge. We're charged with trying to look at this and make sure that we make the corrections as necessary.
If the county were to approve the rezoning, we'd be rezoning a considerable amount of land beyond what the proposed subdivision addresses as far as actual development lands.
Correct.
You're leaving everything three or four big outlots that are zone R1. Or county zoning is a pretty high density residential zone.
Half acre.
For R1, I thought it was like 25,000 square feet.
About half acre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Question, but I'll answer it. Where are we with this? Is this like a preliminary thing that's come to this to be looked at and then go back? Where are we with that this today?
Yeah, so it's the first time we've seen it.
Okay.
And our charge is to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors in all cases on the amendment to the zoning code, the amendment to the plan, and the proposed subdivision plan. And the subdivision plat has to, this is the preliminary plat, and they would have to return to us or directly to the Board of Supervisors for the final plat.
The final plat would go directly to the Board of Supervisors.
So this is our one shot at it.
How many residents are in that area?
There's four houses, and that's why this is designated rural residential. And again, this is the comprehensive plan designation. It shows up yellow, and that's again represents rural residential because of the existing houses that are there. And
is it currently zoned that way, or is that just the way that it's recognized based on like the CDC?
It's just recognized that way in the comp plan. The zoning is A1 agricultural district.
Okay.
So up to that on the east side of that existing yellow.
And actually, the yellow would extend north south. Probably about a quarter of the cul-de-sac bulb would be.
That area is already in a residential.
Rural residential.
Well, you just said it wasn't zoned that way, though.
This is land use designation.
Land use designation.
Proposed land use in the comprehensive plan. So zoning is A1.
Hard to separate the subdivision from the rezoning, which is why we're doing this all in one staff report. So I'm going to fire some plot questions at you here. What's the length of that long street?
A little over 970-some feet.
And is it proposed to be dedicated to the public?
It would be. It would be privately maintained but dedicated.
Yeah.
917, excuse me. And then over 900.
Engineering department didn't say anything about site distance or problems with locating the entrance on that curve?
Well, initially they came to us at conceptual review wanting to do something that was further south than what's proposed. And engineering department thought it would be best for site visibility to have it, the access further north than the location that was initially proposed. So this is needs the acceptance of the engineering department as far as the access location.
And the intent of the easements along various layered easements there is for what?
Are you talking about the green space? Part of that
all
is
all of it.
I think it's an attempt with all the questions that they received from the staff at the county with regard to the natural resources for them to be proactive and preserve not only the open spaces but the creek areas. It's their proactive
limits
measure.
Of development, essentially.
I'm sorry?
Limits of development.
Right.
To restrict future use.
For future development, yes. Although the applicant has interest in building an outbuilding, to use for horses, but that would be probably outside of the restricted areas.
Looking at this map, which part of this area is in the floodplain?
Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the purple crosshatch, which goes this direction. It's a northwest southeast orientation. What's the second one here?
Yeah. Basically, the diagonal lines that are going that way, that follow the creek. Yeah, which is a preservation easement. That basically follows the floodplain. It has a little bit more than the floodplain.
None of the lots actually go into the floodplain. That's the floodplain.
So basically, that's the north boundary of the floodplain and the south side.
Are we ready to ask questions of the applicant? Jerry, go ahead.
Is there another lot? Another lot involved on the east side of the railroad that's also part of this?
Yeah, it is going to be designated as a single lot. It's not going to be included within the covenants in the association of these 17.
Right.
You have this lot up here and that one there. And then the two different homes here are going to be created on the lots as well, the number of lots. And then we've got three outlots here. Will not be buildable other than maybe a horse farm.
Bob, let's get you, it is Bob, correct?
Yes.
Let's get you at a microphone and go ahead and segue into the applicant's comments here.
Can I do it here from this microphone? Is that the one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just, I've got a PowerPoint presentation. I think it will really help me explain a few things. Oh, I got one. Yep, good. Well, whichever one comes out. let's just start with that one. Let's make sure this one can. Yeah. Through this, I hope you build me a little bit of time. I'll try to go fast, but there are a lot of things I'd like you to understand and explain. Staff has recommended denial. Good buddy, Jerry. obviously, we disagree with that, and we'd like to make our case for a recommendation of approval. I think we can make a good case of why seriously considered for approval. I do want to point out something that this has been a real iterative process back and forth, and we've been working for the last really couple months, but several weeks, especially around the holidays, which really kind of mess up some things. And Jerry and I have talked a lot, and we sent stuff back and forth a lot. But there's been some changes, nothing hugely significant at all to the positive since just really in the last week and last night and this morning, kind of some changes. So these things, those are going to show up in this presentation, and mostly what's involved in that is some commitments that Chris as developer is willing to make and some ideas that we had to really make it much more of a conservation community and really protect things. So we're going to highlight some of that in this presentation. I've got handouts of this presentation here, so you have kind of a hard copy of what we're proposing and what we're committing to do. You don't need to look through it right now because it's just the same thing. There is a letter in there too from one of the applicant property owners supporting it too that don't need to really get into right now. But there are some things in here, again, they're all positive, but some things that Jerry hasn't even seen yet. So, but we'll get to those. So let's see. Just